Shalom Aleichem. Yes, that always causes confusion. Shalom Aleichem, that means peace be with you. And the response to that is Aleichem Shalom, and with you, peace. So let's try that. Shalom Aleichem. Wow. You know, you are the first group that I've tried that with, and you've responded perfectly on the first try. You'll be speaking Hebrew in no time. There's an old Jewish tradition, a legend actually, that speaks about how Abraham, in Hebrew, Avraham Avinu, Abraham our father, was called by God. Now, you've all heard the story of Terah, Avraham's father, who was an idol maker. He had a shop in Ur, and he had another shop in Haran. God called him. God called Terah first before he called Avraham. Did you know that? Yeah. And Terah left Ur and went to Haran. And he stopped. And he began his idol manufacturing enterprise again. And Abraham had problems with this, because all he could see was that they were stone, carved out of stone. And one day, a woman came into his shop, and she had a pile of food. And she said, "Would you please give these to the idols? Give these to our gods." And Avraham obviously had a twinkle in his eye, because he took that food and he went into the back room where all the idols were, and he started throwing them around, the food around. Some at their faces, some at their feet. And then he took a hammer and he started breaking all of the idols, except the biggest one, the biggest idol, the one that is called Belial. And he put the hammer right against the chest of the stone idol. And his father came back, saw the mess, and said to him, "Who did this?" And Avraham replied, "Dad, they had a food fight." And Belial destroyed all the other idols because he was so angry with them. His father looked at him and said, "Really? You expect me to believe that these pieces of stone came alive and started beating each other up?" And Avraham looked at his father and said, "If you believe that, why do you worship them and make them?" And at that point, something happened in Avraham's heart. But Terah, the legend continues, threw him out of the house. And Avraham went into exile. And while he was in exile, he was hunting for who was the true God. And he saw the stars up in the heavens. And he said, "Those stars must be the true God." And then the sun came up and the stars disappeared. And he said, "No, it can't be the stars, but it must be the sun. The sun is more powerful than the stars." And then the sun went down and the moon came up. And he said, "Well, it can't be the sun, it must be the moon. The moon is the great God." And then the sun came up again and the moon went away. And Avraham said, "It can't be the stars. It can't be the sun. It can't be the moon. It must be something or someone greater than all of these." And that's when God spoke to Avram. You see, a basic principle here. All those who have a heart that seeks for God will search for Him until He finds them. It's God who finds. It's we who search. God initiates and we search He finds us. I wish at that time I had known what is clearly written in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. You should be aware that the ransom paid to you freed you from the worthless way of life which your fathers passed on to you. Did not consist of anything perishable like silver or gold. On the contrary, it was the costly, bloody, sacrificial death of the Messiah, of Christ, as of a lamb without defect or spot. In the message today, I'm going to use words that you may not have ever heard before. And I want to explain them to you because it's not idolatry. It's not a different religion. It's honoring His name. I'll be using the name Yeshua. Yeshua is Hebrew. Jesus is the English translation of the Greek Isousa. I have difficulty pronouncing Isousa properly. And so I will be using, because that's my tradition, the name Yeshua. I'll use Jesus as much as I can. Christ means Messiah in Greek, which is Moshiach in Hebrew. So I'll be using Moshiach sometimes, but I'll try and use Christ as much as possible in order to honor your understandings. When I was a teenager living with my family in Toronto, I was studying for my bar mitzvah. That's the rite of passage in which a young Jewish boy at the age of 13 becomes spiritually responsible, becomes a spiritual adult. Very few of us are spiritual adults at the age of 13. And the hunger was in my heart to learn and to study and to grow. And I studied Torah, Torah being God's life instructions. And I wanted to become a rabbi. And I had my bar mitzvah. And after my bar mitzvah, things started to change. The hunger changed. And I began studying other things, mainly isms. I studied Taoism and Toism. I studied Shintoism and One Anity, Christianity. But I never seemed to settle on anything. And then I tried the precursor of what is now known as New Age. And that turned me off, because that didn't seem to resonate with my soul. And one day, while I was lying on our couch, and I was lying there in a state of halfway asleep and half awake, and I heard a voice in my head, very quiet, but very firm. My beloved son, I've given you everything. How will you respond? And at that moment, I thought that I was hallucinating, I was dreaming. And when a couple of missionaries from a local church came around, and in those days, the mission field was the community. And they came around, and I shared with them what I had heard, because I wanted somebody to explain it to me, because I couldn't find what it meant. And they were overjoyed when I shared that with them, and they helped me understand that that was a personal invitation from our beloved Abba, our great God. And they discipled me over the next few months, and I accepted Jesus into my heart. I accepted the Christ as my Messiah. And then in my joy, in my naivete, I shared that with my parents. Well, there's something that you need to know here about Jewish culture. The worst thing that can happen to any Jew is shame. Shame is something that a Jew avoids at whatever cost. And although my father was not religious, he was Jewish in every way, including the abhorrence of shame. And so he said, Michael, if you continue with this nonsense, you are to leave our house. You are not to live here anymore. And we will bury you. Now that's a typical Jewish reaction to shame. And what that means is that they will have a funeral, a real funeral, and they will lay an empty coffin into the ground. And the person who is being buried will be ostracized from the entire family. Shunned, if you will. Well, I couldn't take that. My heart broke. And I can remember lying in my bed weeping uncontrollably. God, take back everything that you have given to me. I'm not worthy of it. Well, we have a beloved God. And of course he didn't. But I thought he did. And at that moment, I went into a pit. A darkness. I didn't follow Rabbi Shaul's words, the Apostle Paul, when he said to me, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and then to the Gentile. But I was ashamed of the gospel. My heart had been broken. I didn't understand the power of prayer. And there was no one around that I could go to and say, help me, pray for me. I didn't know how to share this with other people. I was ashamed. And so I spent the next 47 years wandering in the wilderness. Had I known what was there available for me, as James speaks about in chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I didn't realize that this is what God had in mind for me. But during these 47 years that I wandered through a spiritual wilderness, not everything that happened was pleasant, not everything was right. Not everything was done with grace. Hardly anything was done with grace. And so I ruined two marriages, helped raise three wonderful children who still love me. I'm tolerated by most of my family. And I have cousins in Winnipeg who will not speak to me because I have shamed them. I'm going to talk more about that later, but what is really important is at the end of that period of time, I met my beloved. Sent by God. And we know that because right from the beginning, she realized that she would be able to put up with me. And what a blessing that was. And we developed a deep, deep friendship. Not realizing that this was something that was there given to us by God. But feeling somehow blessed as we could be. And then Chantal, who comes from a Catholic background, and her story is absolutely fascinating. And if you get a chance to ask her after the service, please do, because she has such a wonderful story to tell. Oh, no, she says, don't tell them that. Chantal, through the ministry of a beloved friend, came to faith first. And over that year, she took away our Friday nights, Friday night was very special to me. It was a time for our being together. Then she started taking Sunday mornings away. Whoa! Sunday morning. Not having my beloved there to have breakfast with me. Not having my beloved just to be with me and chat with me Sunday morning because we were both so busy. But I noticed the change in her when she accepted Christ Jesus, Yeshua Moshiachenu. It was evident. It was visible. She mellowed. She became much less frenetic. She was thoughtful. And I was so curious. So curious. And I had long before lost an understanding of faith. Faith in Hebrew is emunah. It means trust in action. Faith is active. It's not passive. It's stepping out and doing. It's not sitting back. That's what Abraham did. He stepped out when God said, go. He didn't say, okay, but where? He didn't say, how long are we going to take to get there? He didn't say, are we there yet? When God said, go, Abraham went. And when God said, stop, Abraham stopped. That's emunah. That's faith. I didn't know that concept at that time. But I did learn quite clearly that through Chantel's actions, Romans 11:11 says, it is by means of their stumbling, that's the stumbling of the Jewish people, that the deliverance has come to the Gentiles in order to provoke them to jealousy. Did you know, for example, that 85% of Jewish people who come to faith in their Messiah, and Yeshua is the Jewish Messiah, who was sent for the lost sheep of Israel first, and then to the Gentiles. I didn't know that the job of the Gentile believer is to make the Jewish person jealous. And that's what happened. I was jealous of the changes that took place in my beloved. But, oh, and what a big but that was. She came to me one day and she said, Michael, I love you very much indeed. I will never leave you, but. You just love that word, but. Everything has changed now, and our relationship needs to be renegotiated. Our relationship needs to be renegotiated. Well, I can tell you at that point, my curiosity turned to rage. And I went to her pastor, and I sat down on the other side of his desk, and I went up one side of him and down the other. I accused him of interfering with our relationship. I accused him of trying to break us apart. And bless his soul, he sat there, just listened. He didn't attempt to defend himself. He just sat there and listened. Obviously, he was very attuned to the words of the Holy Spirit. And when I had finished my tirade, a full half hour, I don't know how he did it, but obviously the Holy Spirit just kept him calm. He started speaking about the things I hadn't addressed. My spiritual hunger. My spiritual needs. And he hooked me. And he took me as far as he could go, and then when he couldn't take me any further because there were issues that he couldn't deal with, then he put me in touch with a Messianic rabbi in Toronto. Oh, I forgot to tell you, all of this happened in Ontario. And the Messianic rabbi, Ben Volman, took me the rest of the way. He talked about what it means to have Adonai Yeshua in our hearts, the Lord Jesus in our hearts. He talked about there's no shame. There's no shame in being a completed Jew. There's everything to be joyous about. Everything. And then, in October of 2004, with Pastor Roger and me crying like little babies, I accepted Adonai Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, into my heart. Again. And then, at that moment, we were both of us baptized together on the 17th of February, 2005. And immediately after our display of obedience, he sent me back to school. The age of 62, going back to school. How traumatic. But thank you, Lord, you are with me all the way. And as soon as I finished, Chantal and I were meeting with my supervisor of Chosen People Ministries. I joined Chosen People Ministries in January of 2005 just to spread the gospel around the area. And we were meeting with him, with Joe Gray. During the meeting, Joe had been talking about the problems in Winnipeg and the difficulties there. Chantal was asking questions. Remember, I've taught at Brandon, at the university in Brandon from 1980 to 1987. And I knew what winters were like in Brandon, in Winnipeg. And so every time he mentioned there were problems in Winnipeg, I changed the subject. So I knew where he was leading, and I didn't want to go there. We're driving home after the meeting, and my beloved, who's sitting in the passenger seat, turned to me and said, "We need to go there." I shuddered, and I said, "Where?" She said, "Winnipeg." Now, that's not how Chantal speaks to me when she wants something to happen. She knows how stubborn I tend to be. And so she says things like, "What do you think about?" Or, "Would it be possible that?" But never, "We need to go there." And she doesn't remember saying that, which tells me that came directly from the Holy Spirit. So we prayed and prayed and prayed, and we asked for a fleece confirmation. You know what I mean by a fleece confirmation? A Gideon confirmation? Yeah. So we asked and asked, and finally we got it. And I'd like to share that with you now. You see up on the screen, this was a piece of paper that was given to me by a woman who didn't know me. She said that she was working for God and that her job was to share His word with others, His revelations with others. And she gave this paper to me. "The judgment I have given will no longer take place, for the willing heart will search no more, but will follow my lead and be sanctified and purified into my life, long service without reservation, for my glory awaits His arrival." There's significance in that because not too long ago I began to doubt that word. You see, in 1980, while I was working at Brandon, I had a heart attack. In 1991, while I was working at Nipissing, I had open-heart surgery. In 2005, I had angioplasty and a stent put in. In 2007, I had another one put in because the first one failed. And everything seemed to be fine. And then in November of 2012, I had my second heart attack. And the cardiologist came to my beloved and said, I want you to know this, that that was a very severe heart attack, and he will not survive the next one. Then in March of 2013, I had my third heart attack. And right in the middle of that heart attack, it stopped. The pain was gone. I was awake, but the pain left. They got me to the hospital in time, apparently, and they did everything that they could. They put in another stent, and the cardiologist said, I don't know how you survived that. I do. And then in September of 2013, I had an angiogram. And the artery that was blocked 85% was now open 70%. Praise you, Lord. So his promise, long service without reservation, seems to be very true. Then when we were just about ready to commit ourselves, we were visiting a church up north, and we walked into the building, and the pastor came to me and said, Michael, I have a word for you. Colossians 3, verses 23 to 24. Colossians 3, verses 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for Adonai, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from Adonai as a reward, it is Yeshua Moshiachenu, our Christ Jesus, you are serving. This was a strong word for us because we were receiving attacks from the enemy. We had members of our home congregation who were saying, we can't support you anymore because you're too young. Now, they didn't mean chronological age, of course. They meant we were too young in Christ to be able to be missionaries. Well, God didn't think so. And so it is the work of God that we are doing, not the work of men. We arrived in Winnipeg in July of 2009, July the 10th, as a matter of fact. And we started our ministry there. And my, how the doors opened. Let me show you some of the things that happened. Early activities, right. Here's what we did. We opened the Winnipeg Messianic Center in September of 2009. We started two groups of Bible study, Heart for Israel, which were attended by 35, 40 people each. We had festival outreaches, Hanukkah, Passover, Purim. We celebrated these with Jewish believers and non-Jewish believers and Jewish seekers. There were church-based Bible studies. Churches that said, help us understand our Hebraic roots. Help us to dig down so that we can maintain our present practice, but go deeper in the culture of our Messiah. So that was started. Not without some of the enemy's attacks, of course. Because as soon as we started, the attacks started coming heavier and heavier and heavier. And the attacks are coming from the church as well as they're coming from the community. And that's hard. Then, later, began festival teaching outreaches. Going into homes, going into Bible studies and teaching them how to follow the festivals without changing their own practice. What was really bothering many of these believers was, can I follow God's feasts and not change my own practice? I don't want to have to stop worshiping on Sunday. And I said to them time and time again, you don't have to stop worshiping on Sunday. God didn't say there was one day of the week that you couldn't worship. God said, beloved, if you would worship me on 7 days of the week, that would be wonderful. Yeah. And so that has been part of our ministry, is to help our beloved brothers and sisters in Jesus to understand that they can still honor the Lord's feast, not Israel's feast and not the Jewish people's feast, but the Lord's feast. That was what he told us in Leviticus 23. These are my feasts, and still maintain their traditional practice. But first to the Jewish people. And there are two ways of doing that. One is to be a witness to my brothers and sisters and to show them by my behaviors, by answering their questions, by building relationships, sincere and authentic relationships with them, to help them understand who the Messiah is. And then to help the body of Messiah, the body of Christ, to reach out to the Jewish people, and by their loving attitude, by their desire to follow his life instructions, to show them what it means to love God and not love the writings of the rabbis. You see, rabbinic Judaism has more focus on the writings of the rabbis than it has on the writings of God's prophets. And indeed, in a book called the Talmud, which is a commentary on the Torah, God's life instructions for us, there's a small portion that says, when there is an argument between 1,001 rabbis and 1,001 of God's prophets, you listen to the rabbis, you don't listen to the prophets. That speaks volumes of how far Judaism has strayed away from God. Also, at that time, we started a congregation. It was a wonderful congregation. And this came from another call. You've heard that Winnipeg every year has an all-church gathering. You probably have one here too as well, called One Heart. And they were gathering on January the 10th, 2010. And Chantal and I were going there, and we came to a red light, and all of a sudden my beloved turned to me and said, we can't go there. Now I've come to understand that when my wife is that direct, I follow what she says, because I know it's the Holy Spirit speaking. And so I made an illegal right-hand turn, went into the parking lot of a church that was right there. I asked God to forgive me, of course. And we went inside and we sat down, and right in the middle of the service, the pastor said something he's never done before. He stopped the service in the middle and said, let's take 2 minutes of silence for One Heart gathering today. And I knew this was the moment. So I sat quietly. And about a minute went by, and I heard a soft, quiet voice in my head, and it said, wait for me for a building, but begin my congregation now. And so the very next week, we took our Bible study and we turned it into a congregation. Kehila Havarim Moshiach, the Messianic Fellowship of Messiah. And we've been going now we are entering into our fourth year. We have close to 50 members, which is not bad for a Messianic congregation. Most Messianic fellowships are maybe 10, some less than that. But we are attracting Jewish and non-Jewish people to come and worship with us in a way that they worshiped in the time of Acts. And that is absolutely wonderful. So, to conclude. Over the years that Chantal, my beloved, and I have been following Adonai Yeshua, he has told us and led us very clearly, I am Yahweh your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. We are learning. We're not there. We are learning how to follow his word and not step in front of him. The lessons that we have learned when we try and give God a hand have been really incredible. Our beloved Abba doesn't need us to give him a hand. Not that kind of hand, anyway. He will teach us. And from Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, we read, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Jew or Gentile, man or woman, employee or employer, we are all one in Messiah. Praise his holy name. Abba Father, our great and magnificent God, the God of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the God of Moses, of David, the God of Miriam and Yosef, the God who gave of himself to come down into the body of a man, Adonai Yeshua, and to save us from the sins of the world, to save us from our own sinful nature, who sacrificed himself in order to defeat death, to take death down into Sheol and to make it captive there, death and sin. Help us to understand, Abba, that as one body we are to support each other. That the left hand knows what the right hand is doing, and the leg helps the arm to work better. Help us to be united in an understanding that Adonai Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, is our Messiah and we work for him. Help us to understand that we are led by your Ruach HaKadosh, your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Baruch Hashem Yeshua Moshichenu. Blessed is the beloved name of our Messiah Yeshua, our Messiah Jesus. Amen.